IHOP KC community exists to partner in the Great Commission. And there's many things involved in that, local and abroad, many other ministries that we partner with. And one thing that we're focused on from the Lord is advancing 24/7 prayer. We don't mean 24/7 houses of prayer, a little bit that, but we want 24/7 prayer in every tribe and tongue, meaning 100 ministries working together. Our goal isn't that everybody does a 24/7 house of prayer that we influence or that we're connected to, but we want them to do it in their region together with other ministries. And proclaiming the beauty of Jesus and his glorious return. Now, the beauty of Jesus and his glorious return has unique dynamics to it. There's stigma related to the events related to his return, and that creates pressure, adversaries, enemies, all kinds of things. So that simple little proclaiming the beauty of Jesus and his return, wow, there's a lot in the downline of that. And I just want to take the next few minutes and just give a little perspective of the last 2 years, and I'm not going to go real long. Then I'm going to ask Alan to come up and then him to give a perspective as well. He'll have a little bit shorter time than I have. And then about 12:50, the last 10 minutes, we're going to have a Q&A. And then at 1, we'll release whoever wants to go and then go on with a Q&A for another 30, 40 minutes if we want to. Or I'll stay here an hour if you want to. And the child care, they will give us that amount of time because we want to be able to answer any questions you have about the organization, about where we're going, the future directions, what about this, what about that? Because in the time frame of this staff meeting, and only having 4 a year, there's many things we can't cover, and some of you want some direct input on it, so we're going to try to give that a priority at the end of every one of these. So we look at this statement, advancing 24/7 prayer. You know, it was 17 years ago, January, last month, when the Lord confirmed that this is what we're going to, it was the time to do it. So I began to announce it and raise up, I mean, cast the vision and recruit people. And it's 17 years later since I've been putting my hand to this. And I want to tell you, as I, you know, go on the our 3 weeks that we always take in January, me and Diane, to go to Florida, do a lot of reflecting, a lot of prayer, a lot of time in the Word, and a lot of time together, the two of us, and we pray together and think about this and talk about these things, that we're both coming back, and I just like saying this, I am more committed to this vision than any other time. I mean, there's no time that I have a greater commitment to what we're doing than right now. I have more confidence than any other time that God is with us. His hand is on us, that his promises will come to pass. Now, the thing about the Lord, his leadership is such, he doesn't do it in the same way or the same time we do, but I've rehearsed a lot of the promises and a lot of quiet time and just not having to prepare any messages. I can think through, you know, because every week I'm stopping and then preparing and stopping, preparing, and just that time away. And I am so confident that everything the Lord has promised us, it will come to pass. That the Lord is smiling over this place. And I'm so grateful for the people that the Lord has brought here. And I mean, this group in this room. But I'm thinking over the last 17 years. You know, since 1999, we've had 16,000 people with us in a full-time capacity for a period of time. Counting interns that were 3 and 6 months, Bible school students, some 1 or 2 years, others longer, of course, and staff members that are typically 2, 3, 4 years, 16,000 people have been here in some capacity in a full-time way. And when I look back at the 17-year mark, I am so grateful. And 1,000 of them are here, and 15,000 of them are out there. And I so rejoice and celebrate the 15,000 that are out there as well, that they came for a year, 2 or 3, and they sowed their love in their heart, and the Lord called them into a new place. And I want us as a family, and I know that we do actually, but I want to make it official. I want to say it to where it's something that is we're declaring boldly. We celebrate anytime the Lord moves somebody from the full-time staff to the marketplace here in town, to the marketplace back home, to another ministry, another nation, it's not like if you do full-time staff, that's amazing, and everything after that is less than. That is not the Lord's approach, and that is certainly not our leadership's approach, and it never has been. I am so grateful for people that are here 3 months and 6 months. I'm grateful for 1 and 2 years, and if the Lord redirects them, it's not like, well, they caved in to the pressure. No. No, they're doing the will of God in the present tense. And that's what I want us committed to. Not to being here or being there, doing this or doing that, but the will of God in the present tense. And as a spiritual family with 15,000 out there that have been a part of us, we want to celebrate and we want to enjoy. You know, Nancy Hester, a part of the section leader, worship leader team, we were meeting the other day and she said, she challenged all of us. She goes, we need to write letters to people that used to be on staff, that were on our teams. Whether it's a handwritten letter, some people, or an email, and just tell them, hey, thank you. Hey, we're remembering you. Hey, we want you to know that you helped set this thing in order 8 years ago, though you were here 1 year or 2 years. And I want to take that challenge. I thought it was amazing. You know, I don't really write letters like that, but I write lots of one-liners to people that are out and about over the years. And I don't do the four-paragraph thing, but I write the one sentence or the sentence and a half. And even that little one sentence, I do several a month. I've done it for years, this sort of thing. And the amount of impact a one-liner will have to somebody from 8 years ago, how are you doing and thank you for what you did. And if every one of us did that, and some of you did what Nancy said, actually wrote letters, not just one-liners. One-liners is kind of the quick way to do it. But what if we all did that and we went on an intentional, focused in this next month? And I mean, I think we should do it forever till the end. But I mean, if we consciously thought about somebody, you know, once or twice a month, and you take a minute or two, whether it's a one-liner or a three paragraphs, email them or snail mail them, either way you want. I think that we could just begin to wash and cleanse and bless people that are in the marketplace, that are in houses of prayer, that are in church ministries all over the world. And I just want to encourage you to do what the GPR leadership team is doing, because Nancy gave us this idea, and all of us are saying, you know what? We're going to do this better, and we're going to do it more intentionally. I mean, when I think of the last 17 years, I mean, what a privilege. I think, Lord, how did I get to do this? I mean, doing IHOP is hard. I tell people all the time when they say, tell us about IHOP. I say, it's the hardest assignment I've ever had, the most challenging assignment I've ever had in my 40 years of ministry. But I always like to say, if I had to do it over again, I would do it over again. I just say it just like that. I go, I would absolutely do it over again. The privilege of this calling before the Lord, I take a step back, and again, I feel the challenges and the pressures, and I go, wait, lay those aside. There's a bigger storyline. A weak and broken man, me, you, a weak and broken person, but I'm thinking of me. How am I in the middle of this? And the Lord spoke audibly and set this thing in motion and prophetic supernatural events to confirm it that seemed like a little overkill in 83 and 84 and 85. I mean, it seemed like about 10 or 20 things happened, probably more. And it was like, Lord, now 30 years later, he was saying, I laid confirmation in place in the foundation because you didn't know how challenging it would be. But if you stay with it, and I'm not putting that on people to be here versus there. That's not what I mean. I mean, the Lord's talking to me. He says, you will say it was worth it. You will say it is worth it. And when I look at 17 years later, I am just renewed in the privilege that I have to have this calling in the Lord. The gratitude for the quality of people. I mean, in this room, those that are out there, the 15,000. But I want to talk about this room, just the skill, the wisdom, the humility, the courage, the sacrifice. Just, on this 3 weeks away, I go, Lord, I love this people. I so enjoy who these people are, and I want to enjoy them more because I know that you enjoy them. And sometimes we can, in our inner department, kind of connections or some drop balls or some missteps and we didn't get the information in time, we can lose the glory of who those people are in that department or in your own department or the person that left your team and did this and that. Beloved, it's a glorious reality and a glorious story as to what's going on in this place. And the strength of this place is the people who think Jesus is worthy of this. I mean, when I think of the money sacrifices, the money risks that you took, when I think of the stigma that's involved with the politically incorrect messaging, not the whole message, but a bunch of it is. The cross is an offense to the nations. And when I think of the challenges, the warfare, just, you know, all of these things, and yet so many of you, in your heart, you said he's worth it. Jesus is worth it. That's what, you know, people ask me, what's the key to what you're doing there? Because out in the nations, they have this exaggerated, appreciation, and I appreciate that, actually. I'd rather have them have that versus the other, because there's some of the other as well. But they go, what's the secret? I tell you what the secret is. The Lord's sending people who think Jesus is worthy of it. That's the secret. And they have all types of different skill levels and experiences and leadership, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, in the next few minutes, I just want to review the last 2 years of IHOP. The last 2 years, and then again, have Alan come up and make a few statements as well and add a few more perspective, and then have open up the Q&A as much as you want to ask about that. It was last year in February 2015, 1 year ago, this staff meeting, I mentioned five things that are happening simultaneously in our spiritual family, five different things. And each of these five things that are happening, meaning we're in a season of increase, we're in a season of persecution, we're in a season to be mobilized into community. We're in a season of pruning. We're in a season of divine correction. That's what I said last year, that we're in all five of them are actually happening together, and each one of those seasons has a different response. And each one of those seasons, they have different tensions and different challenges, and we ask different questions. And I want to just take a look at a couple of those seasons. It's a year later. And I want to kind of review this. And last year, I was in February 2015, I was referring to the year before. So it's a 2 year kind of perspective. Number one, we're in a season of increase. And our increase, our global footprint is increasing dynamically. I mean, IHOP is increasing out there in terms of giving people courage to build houses of prayer or to build praying churches. Networking with leaders that want to be resourced or they want to interact with us. Our relational connections, our influence is growing rapidly. I mean, much faster than some of you would know. Now, my point isn't, because I'm never into bigger and best and first is what we're all about. I'm not interested in big, best, and first. I'm interested in faithful. But if you get stuck in the bubble here and you lose what's going on out there, you can lose your way in a few people that are maybe not happy with you and money's not working really good and your heart's feeling a little weary and you're losing what's happening out in the nations. Now, I'm in a position with a number of others, but where I can see, I get a front row seat of what's happening out there. I mean, I loved the news thing with Lewis and Isaac. When they said they're going to do the announcements, Lewis and Isaac, I gasped. I went, oh, no. this could be anything. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And then they said that Dave Sliker was going to pick the game. I mean, youth pastor for 15 years picked the game for adults. I thought that isn't going to go good. But it was amazing, both of those. But I'm going to have find a way to share with you beyond a staff meeting. I've got a few ways to think about this. There's a storyline going on with us in Russia right now. I mean, it's actually real, where a host of bishops from 5 or 8 different streams are inviting us to come straight across Russia and lay the foundational things that are happening at IHOP. I mean, of different evangelical, Pentecostal, charismatic, all different streams, guys that don't even connect with each other. I don't know how many bishops came to the One Thing Conference, but a number, I lost the number, 10, 20, 30, I heard a number of different numbers, and who came from all different streams. And we met with them, and they said it was a divine appointment because they don't even meet with each other back in Russia. They said, I've never had a chance to meet with him. He's the leader of a whole stream, and he's the top bishop of another. And this joke, it was funny, one of them says, I want to give you an official invitation to meet with Putin, with Franklin Graham and a few other people, because we want him to understand what we're doing. And then the next guy jumped up, the other bishop said, we guarantee your safety. And I just thought, what? What do you mean guarantee your safety? Well, I've never heard an invitation. So that was actually a real story, you know, and I was, and Alan's going, but the Alan dunking in ice with the leaders, that's real. That part was real. I loved it. I loved it. You know, the Wes going, you know, we've had Wes Hall, Wes and Carol. And again, we're going to have a context to be able to really tell a story. It's really a God story. 1999, May 99, when we started this thing, we named it the International House of Prayer Missions Base. We had 20 staff members, most of them 20 years old, no money, 20 people, missions base. The Lord was adamant. The spiritual DNA of this house is a missions base. Now, most people came from local churches where when somebody went out from their church, that was bad. But a missions base, the DNA, is that's the will of God. This is what we are about. And so 16,000 people, 15,000 are out there. The day is coming when we're going to have 50,000 people that have been here for a season. And 49,000 of them will be out there. And God's raising up leaders, maturing them. I've had people say, oh, we're losing them. I go, yeah, that's good. If that's a love statement, I like it. You know, I'm in pain that I'm losing him. You know, the Dave Sliker healing necessity for his heart with Wes Hall, you know, this thing to work through. We're going to get him over with Tracy and work on him. But I appreciate that he feels that way. I mean, he was obviously having fun with that. But if, oh, we're losing you because of love, you get to say that. But we need to end the sentence but we're celebrating the wisdom of God. This really is a missions base. This is really what this thing is about. The Lord spoke to me years ago and said that we would be an international family of affection. That was in 1990. It's a very dramatic encounter with the Lord. I've told it years in past, but we would be an international family of affection. 25 years ago, that word was really clear. And I remember I was in London, and then I was in Berlin, and I got to speak that word to London and Berlin in a really strategic context with a lot of leaders. And the Lord said that he was going to take top leaders and people that were really influential in movements, and he was going to send them strategically to other tribes and streams in the body of Christ, so there would be this intermarrying dimension like the kings of Europe did, and the idea that would create these family alliances. Now, it didn't always work in Europe. Sometimes it created a war, and the Lord spoke in a very dramatic way, an international family of affection. This is what I'm after. And so when IHOP started, I began to talk about this open-handed. Lord, send them for a year or two. Send them for 10 or 20. Take them when you want them, because we want to be working on the international family of affection dynamic. and really skilled leaders and people that have a lot to contribute, they come here from other streams, and they bring their family heritage here. And we love it when they come here, but those other places are going, oh, my goodness, I can't believe they came. But then they go there, and being a human, there's a tear, but taking a step back, 40 years later, watching this for 40 years, this kind of dynamic, it's a glorious thing. You know, when our two sons, Luke and Paul, that are both in their mid-30s, when they got married and moved out of the house, me and Diane didn't get together and say, man, what a tragedy. Why don't we just have them all live in the basement and have them all stay here? We actually thought that was success. I mean, when your children, guys and gals that are our age, when your children actually move out, there's some good stuff in that. But anyway, some folks are having a situation, they're saying, I'm meddling now. But it's a glorious thing when that happens. That isn't a metrics of loss. That is a glorious thing, and we always want to help that, and we want to celebrate that as the Lord makes way for that. Number two season. And again, I'm going to be quite brief on these. That was the one I'm the longest on, is a season of persecution. About 2 years ago, we crossed a line, and there's a greater a number of adversaries, and there's a stigma. And the larger our footprint gets out there, and the more we connect with prominent leaders, the more the stigma is going to be focused on, and the more adversaries that we're going to get. But I told the Lord, I will bear this gladly, honestly. I don't like it. I'd rather there not be. But the Lord has purpose in the stigma. I want to read a verse, 1 Peter 4, verse 14. I shared this verse a year ago, 1 Peter 4, verse 14. It says, if you're reproached because of the name of Christ, because you've held the line on the messaging, look at that. That verse, if you've been reproached for the name of Christ, you're blessed. And the spirit of glory will rest on you, and the idea is in an increased way. Now, that's a cool verse, but that's a real verse. That's a real promise. The Lord says, you take a stand, and you get mocked and ridiculed, you're blessed. In the Sermon on the Mount, it says, actually, leap for joy. I love Francis Chan touched on that. He goes, nobody ever leaps for joy when they get mocked and lied about and put down and ridiculed. He goes, we huddle together, and we kind of like pat each other on the back and say, oh, it will pass. He goes, where's the leaping for joy at? Where's the you are blessed and the spirit of glory is coming on you? Beloved, we need to gird ourselves. The crisis in our nation, and I'll touch this a little bit more in the Q&A time, the crisis in our nation is far more serious than meets the eye at a superficial look. I've mentioned this a few times. In the last 2 years, I've had an unusual opportunity to sit with leaders that are informed with a lot of information in the political situation, the economic situation, the military situation, nationally, internationally. A number of guys that have been involved in the in the Oval Office, coming and going a number of many, many times. And these guys are very alarmed at what's really happening, and it's such a time as this where God's people need to watch and pray. They don't all need to be 24/7 houses of prayer, but God has those strategically in the earth raised up as catalysts. This is the hour for watching and praying. The next 5 or 10 years, the wisdom of this will be far more apparent even in the nations than it is today. Season number 3 that we're in, not just a increased adversaries and bearing the stigma, a season of mobilization. The Lord has spoken clearly, and I'm not going to take time to go through it now, but the word from 1984, Zechariah 4 and Ephesians 4. Zechariah 4, speaking of the 24-hour prayer ministry. Ephesians 4, a mobilized community. And we've been talking for a couple years, and we've made headway. I mean, we've made real headway. We got a long way to go. I am not going to be satisfied till we are thriving as a community, connecting together, loving well the people among us, the people outside of us, and the people against us. And there's so much to this, but I want to say this, that this is a key focus, that we want to grow in wisdom. We want all the creative ideas of the Holy Spirit to operate in community in a greater way, because our fullness of purpose and our safety is found only in community. Many people signed up and yes to a life calling, I mean a personal calling, and they said yes to it, and they found some people they loved in the midst. But the Lord says there's more to it than that. I want you to find your personal calling. I want you to meet some people, connect with them. I want you to do your calling together, but there's more. He wants us to be intentional, and we have been moving forward, but we're not even close to there at this time, to be a well-mobilized, integrated community where people feel they belong, where every individual feels valued, where we see the value of every person, regardless what they do, regardless whether they're a leader, a non-leader, whether they're even against us, they're valuable people. And for the Lord to let us see and feel more what he sees and feels when he looks at individuals, believers and unbelievers. And this is one of this is something I've had a little bit of anguish is probably too big of a word, but I've been really unsettled, disturbed. It's probably more than unsettled the last couple years about we have to move into this reality and function not just as a mission space, but as a local church. I mean a New Testament family of believers. And I'm saying in 2016, I'm asking the Lord to help us to take three steps more. If we've taken one or two steps forward in the last 2 years, we want to go three steps forward this year and three steps forward the next year to function not only as a missionary organization, but as those more than the people in this room that Jesus is coming back for his church, not for mission organizations, for folks that dwell together in a New Testament community of believers. That's the model, and our missions base can contribute a lot to it, but there's so much more. But see, one of the great challenges of our missions base is the fact we have so many visitors. It's our footprint. We have so many folks that come for 8 days, 10 days, 12 days. They come for 3 months, short term. I mean, hundreds and hundreds. So, you know, I come in this meeting on Sunday mornings, and I'm just talking real frankly and honestly, and I look up here, you know, I look out the meeting, and the first five rows are all people, not all, but mostly, excited, new, visiting in a short-term program, and I go, I want to see people I know. I want to walk into a room and feel I'm having a family reunion. But we have this glory of there's so many folks that want to come for a little while to get touched, and they're so excited. And then we're all pressing through the crowd. Oh, there's Matt Cantor. I know him. You know, we're trying to find somebody we know in the building. And so I'm saying, Lord, how can we have function as a family, as a local church, where we actually get to celebrate and recognize each other, but at the same time, honor those large numbers of people that are in our buildings all the time? I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. We got to figure out a way to do this, because I want to walk in a room and see familiar faces that are committed to me, and they know I'm committed to them, and that's a challenge. And I got a few ideas of how to to go forward in 2016 in this way. Not sure. I'm talking to some of you, and we've got to settle that. We got to answer this challenge in a way that's practical. Alan, go ahead and come on up if you would. Season number four, a season of pruning. Now, pruning is good. Pruning is the Lord is reducing things in order to bring more focus and fruitfulness. And we've gone through a season of discipline. Discipline and pruning are very different. Discipline is the Lord pointing out deficiencies, and he says, you better correct those. Pruning is the Lord pulling some things back so you can focus more and be more fruitful. And so those are very different things. And I think that as the discipline season in the last 2 years, I feel like we've responded well. We still got more to respond. There's still more deficiencies. But there's been such a eager, open-hearted, non-defensive approach of so many people. in the organization or in personal relationships are saying, Lord, I want to do this better. I want to love well. I'm blessed by that. 2 years later, I mean, I don't think we're in the same season that we were 2 years ago, but we're not out of it entirely, but I felt like that we've responded well to the Lord. Pruning never is fun, because pruning the Lord, it says in John 15, verse 2, the Father prunes every fruitful branch. And the Father prunes to make things more fruitful or more focused. But pruning's not fun either. You know, in the 40 years that I've been pastoring, I have been in an ebb. I've seen the ebb and flow. I've seen the ebb and flow. What do I mean by that? Probably in 40 years, 6 or 7 times, I haven't exactly got a number exact, I've been in a season where there's tremendous momentum, 6 or 7 times in 40 years. I mean, seems like everything we touched, people were alive and exciting, and wow, the money, the people responding. And then 2, 3, 4 years later, we go into another season where that momentum isn't like that. And people go, oh, no, what's going on? And I've said the same thing literally for about 30 of those 40 years. Our leadership team gets together, and I've just said this so many times. I go, you know, when there's a time of pruning where the momentum isn't there, I go, hang in there. In a minute, the momentum will be back. And then when the momentum's there, people go, this is amazing. I go, hang in there. The pruning will be back. I promise you, because the Father is leading this. And he isn't a Westerner who only measures by increase. The Father is looking at this, and he says, I'm pruning, I'm increasing, I'm allowing you to get lined up with what I'm all about. And you need both of those seasons. And right now we've been in a pruning season, and some folks are like, oh no, I go, no, year 2 or 3, this will all be behind. You'll think, oh my goodness. And I go, 2, 3 years after that, I'll go back to pruning. 2, 3 years after that, I'll go back to increase. I have been back and forth, and I've got a history. So beloved, I tell you, I am confident. The Lord is with us. I'm grateful for who you are. I believe in his promises. I've never been more committed, and I'm excited for 2015, but there's gonna be mighty challenges and adversaries and resistance like never before. That's coming as well. Alan. So come talk to us about 20 minutes. Then again, we'll have the Q&A at 1. And again, you're free to slip out at 1. You're free to stay in the CEC. We'll keep going for a while if you want. And they've got some snacks for the kids over there as well. And so you can stay as up to an hour if you want to ask questions. And I'm not asking you to do that. Just if you've got the question, I want you to have the opportunity to ask it. Because we only have 4 of these opportunities a year. And some of you really want answers on things like, why did you endorse Ted Cruz? Things like that. Anyway, go ahead. I'll tell you at 1 o'clock.
Doesn't this feel good today? Feels good to be among family. Feels good to be together. And I was just sitting over there. You know, I don't know if you've had this. If you've lived long enough, you have. That moment where it hits you, one day my parents are going to die. Have you ever had that moment? One day my parents are going to die, and I don't want that. And I just had that really sweetest little feeling of, man, I hope Jesus comes before Mike Bickle dies. I am so grateful for this man. I mean that. That's not a hoopla. It's sincere. And those 5 points, that would be worth putting out, Mike, on a handout for us to look at and pray over. Since you're really good at doing that, you could put out that handout for the staff to really look at those 5 points. He sent them to me, and I've been chewing on them since last night, and he gives language and perspective to us of how to move forward, and it just gives you peace, doesn't it? It just settles your heart and gets you prepared for the future. I just want to say a few words, and then we'll wrap up today's time. And then we'll enter into Q&A. I really feel like, you know, in John 15, Jesus introduces the season of pruning to his disciples. You know, they've had an unparalleled season of fruitfulness. Whatever they did succeeded. You know, they cast out devils. They healed the sick. They raised the dead. They had an unparalleled season of fruitfulness. And they're about to enter into the storm of the crucifixion. And Jesus begins John 15 with, you believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, you believe in God. That's wonderful, but believe in me. Believe in the God who allows his son to be crucified. Do you believe in that God? You believe in God, but do you believe in the God who allows the Messiah to be put on a cross? Do you believe in that God? And that's the God that tripped Saul of Tarsus up. And he's saying, you believe in God, believe in me. Even when it looks like I'm dead, even when it looks like I'm not near, believe in me. And so the season in which Jesus is not seen and his presence is not apparent, that's the time we need to trust in the most. That's what he's saying. And so, and then at the end of John 15, on that season of pruning, the goal of it is that we would have authority in the place of prayer. Now, I love that. I prayed John 15, verse 7 a lot, that where Jesus says that if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask my Father anything and he will give it to you, for by this he is glorified. I mean, what a scripture on authority in prayer. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask Abba anything and he will give it to you, for by this my Father is glorified. That's authority in the place of intercession. I love that verse. I'd been praying it for years. I just never knew it was in the context of pruning. And so I feel like the Lord has given us a great gift and that he's inviting us this next year into the simple place of prayer again. Just real simple prayer. When everything's being pruned, everything just gets really simple, doesn't it? Just gets really simple. When things get too complex, when the dynamics get to where you can't understand them all, you just go back to the simple stuff. And I felt like I just wanted to give you 5 points that the Lord is inviting us to a return to the simple things. You know, I was thinking back 17 years ago when I joined this place in my 20s. Things were just really simple. Just go in the room for a long time and pray the apostolic prayers and sing the revelation hymns, and it'll be okay. God will work out the future. Just go in there and find God. And I just felt like these 5 phrases came to me concerning the next season as far as practically walking out this next year. The first thing is finding God in the place of prayer again. I felt like the Lord was inviting us to cultivate a life of intimacy, and what I mean by that is long, loving hours of devotion. I, as a father, I found out in my family, I could take off 2 hours a day, or I could take off a chunk of time, and I began to find out that the chunks of time with my kids made more impact than the couple hours a day. And so the chunks of times, and I feel like the Lord would invite us into a time of long, loving hours of devotion, of reading the Bible again, just to read it. To not, you know, there's a temptation in a place where we want to go deep, just to read the Bible to conquer it, to master it, to get your outlines, and we're a teaching place. I mean, we're just like teaching outlines, but is there a time, there is a time where we just read to read and to commune and to breathe and find him and get our hearts readjusted and our emotions readjusted. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me personally in this next year, long, loving hours of reading the word and simple prayers, simple phrases from the word. And that he would meet us there. And that in the midst of the complexity, those long, loving hours would prepare us for the next season. So that's one, finding God in the place of prayer. Number two, finding strength in the place of prayer. I felt like this was a year where the Lord wanted to help us overcome temptation. Now, you know, he always wants to help us overcome temptation. So what I mean by that is when Jesus said to the disciples, in those hours when the enemy comes to assault, in fact, Jesus called it the hour of the power of darkness. He told his 3 pillars of the faith, pray lest you enter into temptation. And I remember hearing John Piper preach on this, and he said, "There, if you are succumbing to temptation, it's because your prayer life is not bigger than the temptation you're facing. That there is no temptation in which prayer is not the answer." And so I just felt like that return to that simplicity of praying that lest we enter into temptation. I feel like there's really big seductions, really big temptations that are drawing the saints out of the place of fruitfulness because our prayer lives have waned. And God is inviting us to get strength. Paul said, be strong in the grace of the Lord. Be strong in grace. He also said, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And he told us to put on the full armor of God, and he ends that by telling us to pray always in all prayers and supplications. I felt like the Lord said, I want to meet IHOP for victory. I want victory in the place of overcoming temptation. Beloved, we are the first generation that is standing against the onslaught of pornography like no other generation has stood before it. We have to hold the line so our children can get the breakthrough and our grandchildren can get the breakthrough. We need to be more than just talking about overcoming temptation. We need to overcome. And I felt like there was a fresh challenge for us to overcome greed, to overcome lust, to overcome self-interest, to overcome ambition and envy and all those lists that bring death to our hearts, that the Lord was saying, I actually want to meet you to overcome in the simplicity of praying lest you enter into temptation. And so there's more, you know all this stuff, but I just felt like the Lord say, IHOP, will you hold the line in the place of prayer to overcome in the place of temptation? The temptation to leave your spouse, to abandon your kids, to give up right in the middle of the battle. All those temptations. And the Lord is saying, I have a temptation. I want you to overcome the temptation of shame and condemnation and withdrawing and isolation. I want you in the game. I want you to be strong in the Lord. And there's only one place, simple prayer, where you get strong. And I felt like he wanted to make us strong. That pruning takes away the weak branches so that the strong branches get stronger. And I felt like the Lord wanted to do that with us. Do you bear witness to that? Oh man, I can't wait to accompany the people that have been real. Yes, I've been tempted, but I held the line so my sons and daughters could walk in a measure of freedom. And I believe we could see that in our day. I wonder when I look at the generation who are overwhelmed by the spirit of the age and lust and perversion, I wonder if there's been a group of parents who have held the line so their children could walk in victory. I'm just admonishing us as moms and dads, let's hold the line. Let's hold it. Let's get in the place of prayer and overcome temptation. The third thing is this. I felt like the Lord wanted us to find each other in the place of prayer. I remember leading fasting teams where I fell in love with the men that was in my fasting team. And the reason why is, I can tell a lot about you after spending 4 or 5 hours in the place of prayer with you. I can tell what moves your heart. I can tell the gift of God that's in you. I can tell what you contend for and what you long for, your yearnings and your passions. If I just spend several hours in prayer with you, I know what you are. I know who you are. And I felt like there's an invitation for us to find each other in the place of prayer. I used to lead a fasting team on Fridays where we would get together and we would pray for salvation, healing, and deliverance every 10 a.m. to noon on Fridays. And then at noon, we would go off and we would actually study the end times together or themes. And we begin to say to each other, bring lost people. If we want to see them saved, bring sick people to the prayer room that day and let's do our ministry even in there. And I'll never forget the lady Kelly who walked into the prayer room during our Friday, 10 to noon, and she asked the secretary at the front, I need to be saved. Can anybody here help me? And all of us guys in the men's group just kind of looked at each other like, who wants to go first? There's this sense of, God, you're doing it. But to find community in the place of prayer. I feel like we're to band together in fasting and prayer teams again. I don't know where our fasting teams have gone, but I feel like there's something, there's an invitation for us that I'm going to start doing them again. I want to find people in the place of prayer together, fasting together, praying together, just doing it together. Not being religious or elitist, just do it together. Find one another. Also, I felt like the Lord was saying in that our departments were to look for ways to integrate into the prayer room again. You know, how are we integrating? How are we finding each other? We're known as a prayer room, but are departments coming together for a time of prayer together, asking the Lord for breakthroughs in their significant areas? The fourth thing is this, finding breakthrough for the harvest in the place of prayer. I don't know about you, but I can feel the evangelist in me. I can feel souls. It's like I feel the hour of souls is coming. The hour of breakthrough for the harvest. Saturday nights, we're praying for children. We're praying for families in our midst. We're praying for FCF, and we're praying for those who are lost in our midst to come to know the Lord. Beloved, I can't imagine having a church family where we don't pray for the lost right here in our midst in Grandview and see it. And I would encourage you, we have small groups, a lot of small groups. If you lead small groups, praying for your neighborhoods ought to be right up there. It's time for us. You live on my block. I just moved into, what's the name of the neighborhood we moved into? Valley View Estates. Josh, you're right. I see all kinds of IHOPers walking around. And I thought to myself, somebody in our neighborhood organize a monthly prayer meeting. We'll all show up. Let's just walk and pray and begin to witness and see the breakthrough of the harvest. I felt like the time of harvest is coming. Well, Hal would correct me and say, well, it's come. Do not say 4 more months till the harvest. It's come. It's here. I can't imagine Grandview with 500 full-time intercessory missionaries. This city ought to be lit up with the glory of God. Every neighborhood should be saturated with prayer. Listen to me. We don't have to have everything right in our organization and this and that to see the harvest come in. I feel like sometimes we get so bogged down with the trials of life, we're not finding each other in our neighborhoods and praying. I just want to lift that up. If you in this room, you go, you know what? In my neighborhood, I mean, I was in, what was the neighborhood we were in? Birchwood. I'm running a fever. I'm a little out of it. Sorry. Birchwood Hills is just like IHOP. It should be named IHOP Hills. I mean, it's everybody's in there. That there shouldn't be an unsaved person anywhere near Birchwood. And so I just feel like there's an invitation that we don't have to wait for a program to find each other. We're a prayer people. Let's throw up the, who would like to start leading a monthly prayer meeting, invite the rest of the neighborhood in and to walk it and pray and see the harvest come in. Also our families, our children. How many of you know just because you come to IHOP, your children don't become a prophet just by being here? You want them to become a prophet by the age of 4, but no, they struggle just like anything else, and we need to pray for them and see the breakthrough in our children to come to know the Lord. And then the last one is this. I feel like the invitation is to find peace in the place of prayer. There's a lot of things that can steal our peace, whether it's pruning or discipline or persecution or increase or mobilization. It's a lot of things that can rob our peace. And when our peace is robbed, we don't enjoy one another, and we don't live from a place of the kingdom. We make bad fleshly decisions. I remember Mike shocked me because in his prayer fellowship, he says, do you know which one I pray the most out of it? The P for peace. He said most people miss the prayer for peace. And I felt like Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I just felt like today, as we end this out, I felt like the Lord was saying it's time to come together with God and one another in the sanctuary for breakthroughs and intimacy and harvest. That's what I felt like he said. It's time to come together with God and one another in the sanctuary for breakthroughs and intimacy and harvest. So I just want to pray for us. Does anybody bear witness to that? Yes. Okay, a few. Okay, good. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness in every season of the soul and every season of this family. You're a good father. You arrange all things together for good because we love you and we're called according to your purpose. Father, I do ask that you would help us find you in the place of prayer, that you would help us find strength to overcome temptation in the place of prayer, that you would help us find one another in the place of prayer, and you would help us find breakthrough in the place of prayer and peace in the place of prayer. So Holy Spirit, we dedicate this year to you as a staff. We are your people. You are our God. And Holy Spirit, come in our midst and cause us to love Jesus and one another even more. With all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, that you would be glorified. Oh, we love you. We thank you. Bring your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how you want to do this, so you...